Hi, friends, and welcome. One of my favorite guests is back with us today, Heidi St. John. We'll catch up with her. And I want to share a quote right off the top from Charles Spurgeon, who said, "I believe that one reason why the Church of God at this present moment has so little influence over the world is because the world has so much influence over the church." More coming up on Worldview Matters.
Welcome to Worldview Matters, discussing controversial issues, discerning current events, defending biblical Christianity. No topic off limits. And now, here's your host, David Fiorazzo.
Hey, friends, thanks for watching, listening, and sharing the podcast. Heidi St. John is back with us, author, the busy mom, and podcaster. So good to see you again. Thanks for your time.
Hey, my friends. Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Now, well, tell us about, you got a new background there, I see. That's your podcast background. First of all, thank you for having me on a couple of weeks ago. It's always great to reverse roles. It's really weird kind of for me sometimes, but it was fun. So who have you been talking to on your show lately?
Well, first of all, it was great to have you. I always love having you on my podcast because there's not that many people out there, Christian influencers, who are really just willing to jump into all of the current issues of the day. It's one of the reasons why I just love talking to you. I'm in my new studio. We've been in here now since January, so that's exciting. And I've had lots of people on the show recently. One of my favorite guests was Jeff Williams. He's an astronaut who holds the record for the longest hours logged in space. Actually, he just got eclipsed by a woman. Oh. So I said to him the other day, I said, so now we can just say you have the record for the most hours in space for a man. And so he's like, yeah, that's true, because he knows what a woman is. And so do I. So we were clear about that. But we had a great time talking. I've had Lucas Miles was just here and Mike Ferris was in the studio. So I'm really concerned. And I know you are, too. What interests me is the intersection of faith and culture and where God's people should be engaging. And so when I have people on the show, it's because they have a particular interest in the same thing, believing that God's people belong outside of the four walls of their churches. And so that's really my heart. And we've been, I mean, honestly, Jeff and I really, I mean, we went off on the flat earthers. You know, I think I told him, I said, you should have a t-shirt that says, "Believe the Christian Astronaut." You know, like the world is not flat, you know?
So, well, Isaiah talks about a sphere, the sphere of the earth. And let's just talk about what you can see when you go up, if you were an astronaut. We have pictures. I mean, how do people still believe? I don't understand it.
Well, this is the ultimate, you know, I hate to use the term conspiracy theorist because it's been used against, you know, people who aren't actually conspiracy theorists. But this to me really does fall in that category. These are people that believe that everything is staged. So when you see, you know, images of astronauts up there, everything is staged, none of it's real. And that's offensive to somebody like Jeff Williams, who loves the Lord and sits on the elder board of his church and has been following Jesus for a long time. And he actually wrote a book, you can find it on Amazon, of all the pictures that he has taken of the world from space. And he was telling me it just never gets old, you know, just to see the glory of the Lord displayed in the heavens and the study. You know, a lot of times what these astronauts are doing up there is they're trying to understand the impact of like being weightless, right? What is the impact on a human being as we travel into space? And so they perform a lot of experiments on themselves when they're up there. You know, it's just interesting. We had a fascinating conversation. He's an incredible human being. And and he was like, hey, guess what? The world is round. It's a sphere.
God was right. It was interesting when the astronauts were rescued from the space station, International Space Station, and they had been up there for so long, they had to be helped out of the capsule and their legs.
That's right.
They you lose some of the muscle.
Bone
mass.
Yeah. That's right. And we actually spent quite a bit of time, Jeff and I did, talking about that and what they do to mitigate that when astronauts are up there for such extended periods of time. But he said, honestly, when you go into space, these astronauts know that anything can happen. So mentally, they are prepared that they might not come back in 2 weeks. It might be 6 months. And he said they really have a robust exercise protocol when they're up there. Their food is really interesting. We spent quite a bit of time talking about what they eat when they're up there and the importance of making sure that they've got lots of different things in their diet. But they'll strap themselves to like a treadmill and then put a 100-pound weight on their backs, almost like rocking. And then he said, you get actually a pretty good weight, a pretty good workout up there. But when he first came back from space, his very first time in space, he had lost quite a bit of bone mass. And that takes a bit of time to get back. So he said that they're much better about it now than they used to be. But that's part of the reason they're sending people to space.
Yeah. So Heidi, we've got to mention your website before we move on, HeidiSaintJohn.net. And you can watch any of these podcasts also on YouTube, the Heidi St. John podcast on her YouTube channel. I do want to ask you about an event that you're speaking at called The Last Stand. And I'm looking at these speakers, Heidi, the lineup. You got Seth Gruber, Jack Hibbs, Steve Dace, Pastor John Amanchuku, David Harris, Riley Gaines. Oh, look at that. Heidi St. John, William Federer, Troublemakers. And there's more. This is going to be in June. Wow. I know it's going to sell out. I hope they're live streaming. Tell us more about this, please.
Well, Seth Gruber's, this is obviously put on by the White Rose Resistance. Seth and I have been friends for a long time, and he grew up in the pro-life movement, and he really believes, and so do I, that Christians have a moment in time right now. We've been given a reprieve, particularly in the United States right now with the election of Donald Trump, and they're no longer throwing pro-lifers in prison right now for standing outside of abortion clinics and doing what has historically been considered free speech in this country, but I digress. He's taking an opportunity, and he's putting some of the boldest voices in Christendom right now to come together to one place to say, we need to take a stand. There should never be a Christian that is sitting on the fence about the issue of life. This is fundamental. It's fundamental to our country, right? We hold these truths to be self-evident, right? That we were created by a creator for life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, without the right to life, all the other rights are meaningless. And so we're going to be talking about that. It's going to be very powerful. I'm hoping convicting, but the purpose really is to get God's people to engage. It's not, you know, to have people come to a conference and sit and be entertained, you know, or even ooh and ah over some of the speakers, like, you know, Riley Gaines, an extraordinary human being. She's a friend. That's not the point. The point is to get people engaged and realize that this battle will not be won until God's people engage.
Yes.
And it's never like, you can't leave it up to a president. You can't leave it up to a public speaker. We're trying to get the church engaged. And I think it's going to be powerful.
Yes. And friends, that's part of it. We can't be just consumers. It's great to study the Bible. It's great to go to these conferences. It's great to watch some of these things, but we've got to apply our faith in our context here as the United States of America. And we've got a limited amount of time. Heidi, yep. We're going to talk a little bit more about the life issue. There's some good news, something that Students for Life of America, they're trying to do. But I want to go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court race, the special election from a few weeks ago. I haven't had a chance to talk about that. There's so much else going on. But I do want to talk about it with you because you've run for an office before for Congress, and they spent almost $100 million on a special election. It's not even the Congress, not even Senate, not even the presidency. This is nuts. But one of the reasons the left won was because, abortion was kind of on the ballot in a way.
Yep.
They not only poured out-of-state money into this, George Soros and his minions, but abortion was on the ballot. There was this far leftist Democrat socialist, Susan Crawford, won this election. We didn't have a great candidate, but it could have been, the turnout could have been much better. Just your thoughts on this. And that was one of the disappointing outcomes from this.
Yeah, it certainly was. And it shows you what the stakes are coming into the midterms. This is a precursor for what we can expect in the midterms. The Democrats are going to throw everything in the kitchen sink at trying to make President Trump a lame duck president. The reason why the fight in Wisconsin was so important and why it mattered so much was because it has to do with redistricting and the districting of Republicans versus Democrats and who's going to get to hold what seats. And unfortunately, this is massively politicized. What I find so interesting is we are openly talking now about leftist judges. which means that we shouldn't be expecting justice from these people. We should be expecting political expediency. That's what this was about. And it's a sad day in our judiciary when we're even talking like this, knowing now that we have leftist judges and judges that would rule from the bench. And they would legislate from the bench based on a political ideology. And that's what we're going to see happening, I think, out of Wisconsin. It's very sad because that will have an impact on the rest of the country. This was a very, very powerful seat. So if the Democrats are willing to throw $100 million at a judge's seat, what in the world are they going to do when we have the midterms coming up and there are seats in Congress up for grabs? President Trump needs every single one of those seats. He needs every single one of them. He can't afford to lose a single one. And in fact, he needs to gain seats because we got a couple of knuckleheads in the U.S. House of Representatives. Massey comes to mind, where that you can count on these guys not voting in line with the party that sent them there. And so we've got huge problems coming up if people don't engage. And that's what you saw in Wisconsin. Super low turnout. People were kind of disinterested, blah, 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 blah. And the Democrats just came in and hijacked it.
Well, I think it was a decent turnout for an off, like a special election, but not even near what we needed it to be.
Well, and that's the point.
Yeah, a lot of people
didn't
vote.
The point. It's like what you and I were talking about off air a few minutes ago. 1.5 million or 1.3 million people in Washington state didn't vote didn't vote in the last election in Washington state.
Christians, how do you know if they're professing?
Christians, but let's just say, David, that even 70% of those or even 50% of those 1.3 million were Bible-believing actual Christians. If God's people would engage, we wouldn't just win, David, we'd win in a landslide. So our goal and what we need to do, I think this is what The Stand is doing everywhere that I'm speaking all over the country. This is what I'm telling people. We have a little tiny window and we need to not use it sitting on the couch going, yay, we won something. This is, all gas, no brakes, pedal to the metal, reminding God's people of what's at stake so that they turn out for elections like this and we don't let it fall back in the hands of the Marxists.
That's right. And we need to remember how many decades they've been pushing their leftist agendas and their demonic ideologies and how deeply entrenched, whether that be government schools, whether that be corporations, whether that be Hollywood. One election is good and executive orders are good. And I know the cabinet picks, I've been pleased with some of the men and women of God that are in Trump's cabinet. A lot of them, but man, we need to fight. Citizens need to fight. So we've got a few minutes before we take a brief break, Heidi, and this is really good. I got this in the mail from Students for Life. Here's what they're doing. They're trying to get the movie Unplanned, which is the true story of Abby Johnson and who left Planned Parenthood, into how many college campuses? Here we go. The Students for Life, they're working with the movie's producers to screen Unplanned on 400 college campuses. And that potentially could reach up to 100,000 young people this year. So this is what they're trying to do. I want to give you the stats and then have you respond. Planned Parenthood hauls in $2 million a day in government grants, Medicaid reimbursements, $700 million from our taxpayer dollars. And by the way, their revenue is over $1 billion a year, and they're getting our taxpayer dollars. Anyway, they're working on that in the Trump administration. So, Heidi, just your thoughts on this possible to get this on college campuses. I think how exciting, because they don't know the truth about abortion, about preborn human life in mothers' wombs, do they?
Yeah.
They only
know
the talking points.
No, and we've been lying about this now for a long time. I feel the same way about the talking points for the pro-choice, the so-called pro-choice movement, as I do about the talking points for transgenderism. We talk about transgenderism surgeries as if it were just like, we had top surgery. We don't say, that was a radical mastectomy. We don't actually use the verbiage for, bottom surgery to the gruesome Frankensteinish procedure that it actually is. And the same thing is true in the abortion industry. They call it a choice rather than calling it the brutal dismembering or the saline poisoning of an unborn baby, an unborn human being. It's disgusting. And I know Abby Johnson. She's a friend of mine. She's an incredible warrior for the Lord and for the unborn. And this movie is powerful. It's powerful. And it's powerful because it exposes the truth of the abortion industry. And these young people, David, I'm actually really excited for what I see happening on college campuses through organizations like Turning Point and Students for Life. Yes. And then there were none, which is Abby Johnson's organization. And they're talking to women about the lie of feminism, this big fat lie that has stolen years and years off of young women's lives because they've been told, well, if you have children, it's going to ruin your life and you're not going to have a career and you're going to be unhappy. And then they wind up in their late 30s and early 40s and they're not married and they don't have kids and they're desperately lonely. And they've lost 20 years of their lives. Well, the feminist movement's been lying to women. And to see people like Abby Johnson, like Kristen Hawkins and Students for Life come out and really target these young people is a brilliant strategy because these are tomorrow's teachers, tomorrow's parents, tomorrow's doctors, tomorrow's lawyers, tomorrow's voters, tomorrow's judges, tomorrow's legislators, and they need to be armed with truth. And what we've seen in our college campuses now for decades, generations, is a systematic deceiving of these young people as they come onto these campuses by withholding the truth. And yes. replacing that truth with brokenness and lies. And so I applaud these guys. I love Kristen. I love what they're doing. Good. And something we can all be, we should be praying about it, right? Yeah. I mean, let's pray about it.
Yeah, save these kids on college campuses and get them the
Come
truth.
On.
Get them the truth because the leftist agenda of death is to end a life. And this is, I've got some also a quote from Heartbeat International, another great organization. They say, according to Planned Parenthood's own reports, 97% of their pregnancy services and an abortion. Services. Less than 2% involve prenatal care, miscarriage support, or adoption referrals. So again, friends, the truth is the fact. 97% of their services are for abortion. We're with Heidi St. John. Yeah, really. HeidiStJohn.net. We'll be right back on Worldview Matters.
Today's show is brought to you by Harbingers Daily. World news biblically understood. Stay informed at harbingersdaily.com.
Hey, friends, listeners, watchers, viewers, hey, please remember to follow us on your platform of choice, your favorite platform, wherever you watch or listen to Worldview Matters. We thank you for subscribing. We've got a recent YouTube channel, Worldview Matters. David Fiorazzo just kicked that off in January, I believe. Also, if you miss your favorite guest, you miss a podcast, you can go search their name on our website and bring up any podcast from your favorite guest and look at past shows. You can go to worldviewmatters.tv and just look for the search bar in the upper right. So Heidi St. John, America cannot stay free if Christians remain silent. I'll never forget one of the first times I interviewed you on a radio talk show. Back then, you were it was off the bench and into the game, right? Get off the bench and into the game. That I mean, and you're the busy mom. You built that just movement, trying to minister to women. Now you've got Bible studies. Now you're speaking all over the country. You went to Answers in Genesis, right? Rubbing elbows with Ken Ham. So you're doing so much. But again, part of the message is, Christians, what does getting engaged mean? Thank you for coming to the show. Thank you for coming and watching the program. Thank you for reading my books, right? You've got a ton of books out. But how do we translate that outside of church walls? Could you speak to that for a moment, please?
Yeah, I think it's so important. And I love that you brought up, you know, Answers in Genesis and the work that people like Ken Ham are doing right now, because it is so important. The role I think that God has for people who've been called to the front lines of the culture wars is really one of trying to get the next generation to engage. Right. And so we're kind of fighting against a misinformation campaign that's been coming out from our churches for generations that says that that Christians belong in churches. And, you know, we should be really proud of our potlucks that we have on Tuesday evenings. But God calls our Christians out of the church and into the culture. Right. And so we've not been going out into the culture. In fact, we've divorced ourselves, particularly from the political sphere. And I've been trying to encourage people. And I did it really largely by putting my money where my mouth is, so to speak, and running for Congress in 2022, just to say, listen, we need to stop talking about this stuff and actually start doing it. Christians need to be involved in politics. Politics determines policy, and policy shapes the nation. Why in the world have God's people abandoned the sphere of influence? I'd really like to know. We bought the lie of separation of church and state, which, if you'll just do a cursory study, the left loves this, right? Because they took this misunderstanding of a letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to the Danbury Baptist Church, actually telling them in Danbury, Connecticut, that the opposite was true, that the government would never interfere in the affairs of the church. The church was called to be the conscience of the state. Yes. And when Christians decided to cede this territory to the enemy, it became really a playground for leftism, for communism, for all the isms, right? Yeah. That have set themselves up against God, that don't believe that that there is a God. And we've seen this now hijack the country. And I don't think it's going to get better until the church engages again. We need more of the Black Robe Regimen, more Jack Hibbs, yes, more Rob McCoys. We need more pastors with courage to stand up in front of their congregations and say, this is not something that you can sit home and just talk about over the dinner table. You've got to engage. And that's been really the theme of my life for the last 15 years. Every book I've written, every time I speak anywhere, is to tell people, get off the bench and onto the battlefield. This is a war. It's your life. Show up for it.
You mentioned one of the problems, Heidi, the misunderstanding of separation of church and state, because what that means in this day and age is the separation of Christianity and state, keep Christian or biblical influence out of the public square. And that's not what our founders intended at all. But another problem is, you mentioned at the end there, how did you put it about, did you say battle ready, or what did you say at the very end there?
Well, I've seen you got to get off the bench and get into the battle, This is a battle.
So the problem we have, one of the problems in addition to that, the misunderstanding, is the fact that we've got this cruise ship mentality that we've talked about a lot before, because some people in the Christian church are reading the wrong books from the wrong authors, the prosperity gospel, and they're following people who think that we should have a blessed life and everything should be going great, and we don't need to mess with exposing the deeds of darkness or fighting the culture wars. We should look out for number one. I want to live my best life now. It sounds good, right? I want every day to be a Friday, but the reality is it's not. We live in an imperfect world. It's trashed by sin and death and destruction, and the enemy has been running rampant throughout every major institution and even in our churches in our country. Could you speak to that for a moment, please?
Well, I think you're absolutely right when you say that these people pander to Christians who want their Christianity to be like a cruise ship experience, right? We live in a very lazy culture of Christians. Mm-hmm. We are extraordinarily lazy. We like to go to church, and you know, we've got an entire generation of Christians who know all the words to all the modern worship songs, but we don't know God's word and we can't defend it because we're unwilling to study God's word for ourselves. We want to go to church so our pastor can suit us up for war, except for that was never his job. The Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians 6 that we are to put on the whole armor of God. And I'm always telling parents, listen, you can't pass on to the next generation what you don't possess. And we're watching an entire generation of Christians who have been hijacked by this lazy version of Christianity. And it is costing us tremendously in the culture as Christians have ceded the territory. We've given away our voices so that we can sit in our churches and feel good in our sort of quiet morality, as we think that, well, we'll wait for people to come into our churches and then will impact change. But the culture is downstream from the church. Mm-hmm. And when the church decides that it does not have the job of impacting the culture anymore, we watch a culture literally dying from decay because God's people have not stepped in. I mean, I'm reading Judges right now because I'm reading through the Bible again. And amazing to me to watch the Israelites, right? God blesses them, gives them instructions, gives them a judge, puts them on their feet. And two chapters later, and the Israelites did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. And they set up the Asherah poles and they started worshiping Baal again. Yep. And God's like, and then it says it made God angry. And so he gave them over to the Amalekites. Or he said, okay. And so for 7 years, they were at war. And then they cried out to God and he had mercy on them. And then the cycle repeats itself over and over and over again. Well, if that doesn't describe the church in the United States, I don't know what does. Yeah. We called out for God's help in this last election, and God in his mercy heard our cries for help. Yeah. And I worry, David, that we're going to go back to this, you know, well, we got what we wanted. And now we're going to go back to, you know, our Asherah poles and our quiet Christianity and our cultural Christianity. And we're going to sit it out. And we've got to stop with that mentality. We are a people at war, and spiritual battles require spiritual weapons, which means God's people need to be at the front of this thing and not behind it.
Amen. Big amen, sister. Jesus paid the price for us, and we are to be ambassadors for Christ.
Yes.
That doesn't mean we should be taking it easy. Yes, there is a cost, but look at the price that he paid, friends. And I know I'm preaching to the choir because most of our audience gets it, but you need to share this podcast and Heidi's podcast with others and on social media, and just to try to wake up more people, because unfortunately, Heidi, the pastors aren't doing their jobs. Yep. There is a remnant, a strong remnant of great Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, prophecy-proclaiming pastors, but a lot of them, most of them in America, they're not getting their congregants, the people, the flock in their care, informed, equipped, and engaged. More thoughts on that? We've just got like 2.5 minutes left.
Yeah, I think that we've fallen into this part of Christianity where we just don't want to offend anybody. You know, heaven forbid we should talk about what's going on in the public schools for fear of offending a public school teacher or a public school administrator. And so instead of telling the truth, we allow children to suffer in this system that is literally injuring them 5 days a week, 9 months out of every year, 8 hours out of every day. And these pastors sit back silently and won't engage because we're afraid we're going to offend people. The same is true for politics. If I had a nickel for every time I've talked to a pastor who said, well, our church doesn't do politics. Well, I'm here to tell you, you may not be doing politics, but politics is doing you, right? Because when we don't engage in it, it doesn't mean it's not happening. It just means that we've taken our voice out of the conversation. We remove ourselves from the public square. And now we're wondering why we're having a hard time getting back in. We've got to stop with this lazy comfort. You know, Americans love our comfort. We want to be comfortable. It's comfort at all cost. And boy, David, the price is too high. The price is our children. The price is our culture. And we've got to stop with this pursuit of comfort and start actually pursuing Christ. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. But then he went on to say, take heart. I have overcome the world. I mean, Amen. David, you and I both live long enough now to have encountered some serious struggles in our own lives.
Yeah.
And it doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. And as I get older, I'm reminded more and more and more that this world is not my home. I'm just here. I like you. I mean, we're a blip on the radar, right? Yeah. I want my life to count. I want my life to count for eternity, to count for the Lord. And if that's to happen, then when I pray, it's got to be for more than just God bless me. It's got to be, Lord, show me what you want me to do so that I can accomplish the thing that you would have me do in the time in which you give me. That's a life of blessing. That's a life of purpose.
Amen, Heidi. Teach us to number our days that we might gain hearts of wisdom. We need to love our neighbors by being active and standing up for them when people are calling evil good and good evil. The church needs to speak up. I appreciate your voice. Thank you for speaking up. And Lord willing, we'll do this again in the near future. It goes by way too fast with you, Heidi.
It sure does. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right. God bless you. Friends, there are some great guests on this podcast, and you can follow their ministries. I highly encourage you to do that. And that's one way we're going to reach people, get those videos, get those podcasts out there for other people to see and hear. And, you know, while there's time, we don't know how much time we have left, right? God bless you. And as always, keep speaking the truth about things that matter.